Good afternoon, everyone. This is Barb Pello, Group Director at InfoTrends, and I'm joined by Jesper Holm, partner from Graphic West. And today we're going to be sharing with you capturing the consumer at the point of purchase, achieving shelf impact with color digital printing. Packaging is a very important marketing strategy to glamorize your product in order to attract that consumer's attention. Sometimes packaging is so important that it'll actually cost more than the product itself to lure that consumer to buy it. Packaging should definitely be included in the four major P's of marketing: product, price, place, and promotion. A lot of times consumers judge a product by its packaging before buying. So it's logical to say attractive packaging is crucial in order to get that first-time buyer to buy your products. Quite honestly, without attractive packaging, who would buy it in order to try it? Your first step to enter the market is crushed if the packaging doesn't meet the consumer's expectation. And so what we're going to be doing today is exploring the concepts associated with capturing the consumer's attention at the point of purchase. With marketers wanting to make sure every dollar counts, it's an essential component of the marketing mix. Now, before we get started, what I would like to do is give you just a few tips for enjoying the webinar. First of all, if you're having any technical difficulties, let us know by using the Ask a Question box, or you can troubleshoot by clicking on the Help button below. Make sure that you've disabled pop-up blockers. You can get a PDF version of this presentation by clicking on the Download Slides button. If you like what you're seeing or you're hearing, use the Invite a Colleague button to let us know by clicking the Survey button and sending your feedback. We'll be taking questions throughout the course of the webinar today, so merely key in your question using the Ask a Question box. And this event is going to be available on demand for the next 90 days. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to spend just a few minutes talking about design and color considerations for packaging. And then you're going to hear from Jesper Holm, and Jesper's going to share with you the market realities for digital printing. I'll wrap up with a few recommendations and conclusions. And again, what we would tell you is make sure that you ask questions throughout the session, and any we don't get to, we'll wrap up with at the end. Now, when you think about packaging, what I tell everybody is it's probably one of the most potent weapons in the chief marketing officer's arsenal in the battle of hearts and minds of consumers. And you really need to make sure that you're playing effectively on the shelf space that your product holds. And that's where really you track ROI on a daily basis. Color is a very, very important component in that world of packaging. And they're important because of their symbolic value and powerful cultural meanings. And these aspects make them the central focus of many marketing strategies. Company owners should choose their colors carefully, from packaging to advertising to store decor. Not only does the color of the packaging affect how a consumer views a product, it can also help distinguish the product itself from its competitors, or it can aid a consumer in recalling the product's marketing message. I share just a simple example. When I say the color red, a brand pops into your mind. Typically, it's Coca-Cola. That's the kind of visual impact that color can have in packaging, and it carries over into the realm of advertising. Over the years, the aspects of psychology of color have influenced the decor of countless businesses. For example, exposure to warm-hued colors such as yellow and orange have been shown to stimulate hunger and cause people to react to certain stimuli. Knowing that it's obvious, that's why the majority of fast food restaurants actually employ warm-hued colors in both their decor and their logos. I thought I'd share with you a couple of slides that really depict some of the psychology of color, and you can basically reflect on how they're impacting your business or the businesses of the companies that you actually work with. Think about it for just a minute. If you think about blue, blue exudes basically a calming color. Believe it or not, test takers score higher and weightlifters lift more if the room is blue. Blue text has a tendency to increase retention. When you think about yellow, it invokes cheerfulness. Reds and oranges encourage diners to eat quickly. Hence, when I walk into a Wendy's or McDonald's, I see a lot of red. Children prefer primary colors. Hence, think of what M&Ms do with the color of their product. And then what you've got are colors like forest green. They're designed to appeal to wealthy people. The Starbucks coffee that you buy is more expensive than other coffees, hence the forest green decor and logoing. Red is designed to convey power. It's associated when you use red and black with casinos and bars. So there's a number of things that culturally people think about. Agencies spend days and hours analyzing the impact of color. They look at blues, greens, purples, neutrals, blacks, and whites as conveying very, very specific meanings in terms of the overall products and services. And Alexis, I'm going to ask you to advance the slide. It appears that it's not moving. It says connecting, please stand by. So I'm going to give you a second, Alexis, to see if you can help me out here.
I swapped the slide, Barb.
Okay,
so
thank you.
You can just move forward.
I'll move forward. Thank you, Alexis. Now, this next slide that has the headline, Color Packaging at Work, depicts what Kraft just recently did with their macaroni and cheese box. And what you're seeing in this macaroni and cheese box is blue, and it's a constant, quiet, serene, dependable, reliable, trustworthy, committed color. And it's blended with orange, and orange is often used to make an expensive item actually seem less expensive. Now, when you look at this next slide, what you're also seeing is that marketing services apply to the packaging market. And what we're finding is that companies are actually using the package for a lot more than just carrying a brand message. They're actually helping clients build that package to capture the consumer attention. But what they're also doing is they're saying it's not just a package, it's consistent communications and manifestation of the brand across all facets of marketing. They're using it as a tool to engage the consumer as well as a vehicle for cross-media communications. And basically what they're doing is they're actually blending it with mobile technology, and the package is actually becoming, in some instances, a new brochure for mobile content. This slide has an example from Pacific Natural Foods, and they're an award-winning natural organic food and beverage company. And what they've done is they've actually used the package to become part of their brochureware. They've embedded a QR code, and what they've done is they've linked that QR code to a new line of authentic soup starters and recipes associated with using those soup starters. And so what you need to think about is whether your product is consumer or business to business, a strong, consistent packaging strategy is absolutely a must. We're also finding that packaging is actually integral to consumer engagement. And if you look at the examples on this slide, what you're seeing is a blend of QR codes, text messaging, blended into the package. In a lot of instances, it's used to access product information. It might be used to accept a timely offer. It might be used to gather survey information about a specific product, build an online community, interact via game, or compete with in-store brands. One of my favorite examples is the actual bottleneck hanger that's depicted on this slide. When I went into the wine store over the holiday season, Constellation Brands had integrated a bottle hanger with a QR code. What it did is it had a link from that QR code to a party planner that would help me actually select and determine how much wine I needed to buy based on the number of guests I had. It made recommendations on the type of wine I should order, recommending specific foods and menu items, and it asked if I wanted to opt in for additional offers. So it was that blend of good color as well as a marketing concept that differentiated their packaging. Now, we're also seeing companies like Nestle's on this next slide blend promo codes and URLs to integrate and get moms to opt into couponing. This happens to be a drumstick box for Nestle's. And what they did is they embedded a special offer on the box so that I could get sports cards. What happened was, at the end of the day, the mom would link to a URL, would order the sports cards. It became a viral marketing vehicle because she'd share those with others, And then, oh, by the way, what happened was once she opted to share those with others, other moms would order. But the last thing the Nestle's did was they asked that mom if she was willing or if she wanted to get additional free couponing offers from Nestle's. We're also seeing on this next slide augmented reality bring packaging to life. There are two examples on this slide. The first one is Lego, and Lego actually inside this bright yellow box, which is a primary color linked to children, embedded an augmented reality tag so that when I held a box from a Lego up in front of a web camera on a kiosk, it would show me what the product looked like when it was fully put together. The big thing you've got to look at, and I'm going to give you top 10 considerations for packaging, is that regardless of the technology you use, and when we're seeing a migration to digital technology, you really need to think about these 10 things as you're building out your packaging. First of all, you really need to know who your competitors are and what they're successful with and what they're not successful with. You need to look in and walk through retail environments to understand what's going to make your product look different on a retail shelf. How is your package going to stand out in the context of a retail store or grocery store or whatever environment you're selling your product in? You've got to know yourself. You've got to understand your product story and your brand. You've got to do a good job at establishing design criteria and what you want your package and design to communicate. You've got to distill your message, which says that your package is not a brochure and it can't be cluttered. That's why people, though, are using things like QR codes or text messaging and blending it into the package, because it lets that package convey a whole lot more information. You have to have it be consistent with all your other types of marketing materials. You've really got to hammer out the details, and you've got to make sure that what you do is you communicate all the things that are absolutely essential to that package. I might have legal requirements that I need to meet. I might have to have space for translation, but I need to make sure that I'm in compliance with that package. I should be testing design options, and that's one of the areas where digital technology plays a major role. I can test different color combinations, different mixes, and I can ultimately choose what communicates to that end customer base most effectively. I want to strive for production value. I need to make sure that my packaging is current. Times change, and I've got to modify my package to deal with changing times. And last but not least, I really need to dress my product well. I need to make sure that it's got the right quality, that it'll withstand handling, it will resist failing, and it's going to stand out from the crowd on the shelf. Now, what we're seeing on this next slide is a survey of label and packaging converters that we did at InfoTrends. And we asked a number of them, 375 to be exact, what type of a provider they were. We then asked them on the next slide whether they were using digital color or not. Believe it or not, 35.5% were using digital color. It was often highest among folding, it was highest among label converters as well as folding carton providers. What we started to see in the market was an increased level of awareness of the importance of digital color packaging tools and systems. On the next slide, we asked them what type of digital color printing equipment they used. Covered the gamut, but it was typically standalone, full color electrophotographic digital presses, followed by wide format inkjet. The bottom line of all this is that, well, packaging still has a long way to go in terms of its acceptance for digital. The color gamuts, color tools, and you'll hear more from Jesper about this, are beginning to take hold. This next slide indicates how fast we see the market growing. And what we're seeing is double-digit growth in terms of labels, folding cartons, and flexible packaging run on digital devices. I think what you're seeing is the technology is at a stage where it's at the right level of maturity, and now what we have is the opportunity to leverage it for digital production. With that, what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn it over to Jesper, and what Jesper's going to do is take the time to discuss how he's actually deploying those concepts for digital packaging to garner shelf appeal. And with that, Jesper, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Thank you very much, Bob, and good morning to everybody. Well, my name is Jesper Holm, and I'm talking to you from Denmark. I've been in packaging manufacturing for more than 20 years, and I'll give you a bit more information on my background and my company, Graphic West, later on. Now, in this session, I would like to get two messages across to you. One is that digital printing today is moving into the printing of packaging. It goes hand in hand with lean management philosophies, and the technology is improving constantly. The sheet size is increasing, the speed is going up, and the cost factors are improving rapidly. So that's a fact we are seeing in the market today. Second, the print quality and color matching is no longer an obstacle to really release the enormous benefits of digital printing, where setup cost and setup time is a non-existing factor. Therefore, the supplier of packaging today has two ways of dealing with this factual new window of opportunity. One is to either go ahead now and have a first mover advantage and get on board, or two, he can let the others take the lead and try to catch up later on when this unavoidable fact in the market is really taking off. Now, for more than 20 years, I've been manufacturing offset-printed packaging. So, in principle, offset printing is well within my comfort zone. And if the world outside did not change, I would really love to stay within my comfort zone of offset printing. However, the world is changing rapidly, also in packaging, and digital packaging and printing, as it is in 2011, is the first new window of opportunity in the packaging industry for more than 15 years. It's been a long time since the last step forward was computer to plate, and nothing much has come since. Now I'm gonna shift the slide to give you my words on the point of purchase, because what we call point of purchase is the place where the actual packaging can have an impact on the consumer's buying decision. So first it has to be established, of course, as Bob mentioned, where the packaging will be exposed to the customer. For instance, if it's in a supermarket, we have to work intensively on the facing and the shelf exposure. This means we must be able to catch the attention of the consumer when he walks down the aisle of the supermarket. So the angle in which he sees the product is not looking straight from at it. He sees it out from the corner of his eye, an angle where you can actually not read letters or a written message. So the eye will be able to catch and react to a color if the facing is wide enough. So you see, therefore, not round bottles of shampoo, you see the flat bottles. And Kellogg's cornflakes, it's not a cube form box, it has a very good facing. It's annoying because the boxes and bottles, they fall over easily, but this disadvantage is unimportant at the point of purchase. At the point of purchase, only two items are of the highest importance, and that is the maximum facing and the choice of light color and color combination to create the interest and recognition. Now, in our work on packaging construction and packaging design, we often make live 3D animations where the brand owner can see the product on the shelf and take a virtual tour through the supermarket. It goes without saying that the high position of the packaging on the high shelf is not attractive, so everybody is fighting for the middle section where the eye level is. The environment of the retail shop changes almost daily. There are different campaigns and marketing campaigns to attract attention. This challenge has to be met to not let your own product get dusty on the shelf because it's immediately removed from any supermarket. Now, these frequent changes in design is quite a challenge for the printer and the packaging manager because you must modify the artwork all the time. On offset printing and gravure printing, the technologies are created for larger production runs from the old days of marketing, and the rapid changes are expensive and time-consuming. In digital, it's not expensive and it's not time-consuming to change the artwork. Now, the frequency of design modifications and marketing campaigns, co-branding, has been increasing for years, and it seems to be increasing even more rapidly as marketing sales aims to get more and more personalized and try to attract the individual profile of the consumer.
Yes, sir, I have a question for you. You know, we're talking about packaging and the design modifications. Who are you typically dealing with from the marketing side in the organization that is driving the change? What titles are you working with in terms of the customers that you deal with?
Well, it's the marketing and sales responsibles. And later on, you then engage also the guys for implementation and manufacturing, but it's really the marketing companies who are in that constant fight out in the market where you need to bring new product into the market all the time.
Okay, thank you.
So the time to market for them is really tough nowadays, and they haven't got much room for a long series, long 6 months planning for a packaging. It's no go anymore. They change them every month. And, of course, it gives them a good chance with something is good for digital, something is better for offset. But just imagine an example. You want to go to McDonald's. You order your Happy Meals for your kids some minutes in advance via your iPhone. The application will ask you to give the names of your kids and download a photo. So when you pick up the Happy Meal after 10 minutes, the boxes are individualized, printed with a photo and name of your kids, and some message for your kids printed on them on every single Happy Meal box individualized. So this is not a dream. It can be done. It will take 2 minutes to have a box digitally printed and finished. So it's a lot of potential. But before we get carried away in this new world of marketing and amazed by the digital technology, I would like to just give a few, maybe a bit of presentation on my own background. For 15 years, I owned a packaging company in Denmark, which was called Frontpack. It was Scandinavia's leading manufacturer of offset-printed retail packaging in solid board, microflute, and display material for shops. I sold the company to a larger group about 10 years ago and joined Graphic West Machinery, which develops and implements turnkey projects and packaging installations all over the world. So we are in the UK, we are in Europe, Scandinavia, US, Australia, China, South America. So we work with companies like McDonald's, KFC, Costco, Coca-Cola, all the beer companies, all the major pharmaceutical companies, Kellogg's, Unilever, Mars, and so on. So our challenge is to always meet the criteria and demands of these brand owners, and they're probably some of the most demanding brand owners globally. So for the last 4 years, we've seen an increasing move and interest in packaging towards digitally printed packaging because our customers wanted to take the advantage. So we had to deal with this cost-benefit analysis, should they move, should they not move to digital. And Graphic West has now a dedicated division that just deals with this way of new way of printing packaging. However, there's always some challenges when you shift from one technology to another. And I think this webinar is about highlighting some of the challenges that must be met. So let me just run through a few of these. One is that you have to manage the issue about color. Managing this unlimited possibilities is both an opportunity, but you have to structure and control this very flexible workflow setup. So the order flow and the logistics of more and smaller print runs, you have to die cut, you have to glue more smaller print runs and order sizes, you have to apply individual braille for pharma, you have to have increased need of inline quality control of color matching, color consistency, PDF comparison, braille inspection, because all of a sudden on a day you might not have three different jobs on your print unit, you could have 100. So you should be careful that you don't create a bottleneck. I want to move on now to talk a bit about the importance of color to the brand owners. Since the first digital printer went on the market, the discussion about color matching has been highlighted. The issue today does not really have the same importance as, because digital color management today is on a much higher level. But it seems still to be an issue, and maybe this is for historical reasons. It's for sure that the very first digital printers that I saw many years ago had a very poor color management system, and it had this rather digital look to the print. So it's almost become a reflex when you say digital, then the first thing that pops up is color, neglecting the fact that many generations of digital printing machines have already overcome this issue to an extent where, in my opinion, it fully matches the color issues which has always been around when you talk offset printing or flexo printing. Because in these technologies, color matching is not discussed anymore, but it's not perfected. So just the mere fact that you print on different materials, board grades, all these issues, you have glossy surfaces, matte surfaces, gives you a total different color in offset also. The type of varnish that's applied makes the color out of match. The techniques in offset printing where you have grease and water balance is actually very unstable. You're trying to control it, but during the print run, there's a deviation in the color. So believe me, after 25 years of offset printing, offset is not perfect. We've just gotten very used to it and seen it as the best alternative.
Yes, sir. When you talk to a brand manager or a marketing executive, do you bring in, one of the questions given, do you bring in a couple of samples? And if you did, can they tell the difference between what was done on what I'll categorize as traditional technology versus digital?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no. And sometimes I don't know what is what. So it really depends on the individual challenge, what you want to overcome. But I never start any approach on discussing the color issue, because they have a color issue today. So they seem to forget that they have a color issue today. If you bring in a digital, or if I said gravure printing or inkjet printing, they would focus more on the limitations than on the possibilities.
Okay.
So I start with showing the possibilities and then saying, okay, here are the pluses, here are the minuses. And before jumping to the conclusions, we always end up where we have basically the same plus and minuses as they already have today. So then we can go forward. Well, I just want to touch a bit on why this color issue is also quite sensitive, because every brand owner has the concept of corporate identity, and it was a concept in the late 70s, 80s as a new important management tool to create and identify a brand. The days of globalization and global market were still to come, but one of the important tools was create and to hold on to a corporate identity and to create a recognizable logo. We all remember the days where everybody needed a logo, and now everybody has got a logo. Now, sorry. In the beginning, it was mainly the company name that was part of the logo. Later on, it got more sophisticated so that just a small sign would tell you who's behind the product. I'll just think of where Nike ended, the bitten Apple of Apple computers. Just look at the iPhones now. You know that Apple computers behind them, the crocodile of Lacoste T-shirts. So I'm getting now to the point of the colors, because every company has as the most important single point in their creation of their corporate identity had to define their company colors. Some had it already for historic reasons and kept and shaped up this historic color, which is Coca-Cola, Pepsi, Heinz Ketchup, these guys, and others wanted to get updated on trends and markets, redefine their corporate colors. You see that with companies like DHL. Now, the issue of defining the corporate color was really a senior management decision, and it involved the whole organization and was an issue that had to be approved by the board of directors. So therefore, most companies and brand owners today cling on to their corporate color as a solid cornerstone of their corporate identity. So if you want to talk about their corporate color and challenge it in any way, then you're really striking solid rock where you have to be very precise. So it's my conclusion so far is it's taken 25 years to get a perfection in this handbook of corporate identity with a color, and you have whole departments and managers responsible to secure that every item of this color book and marketing handbook of corporate identity is perfect. So my best advice: do not challenge this corporate identity or the handbook or the outlines or the company colors, and do avoid any involvement at an early stage of that point. If you do, you have a lost case before you even get started. So in my opinion, you need to focus on the huge possibilities of improved marketing and enormous financial savings that can be achieved without being in conflict with the basic corporate identity. So for now, we have looked at why color matching is such a hot topic and learned that color is a keystone of the handbook. So therefore, we need to get in deeper with the color and see is there really a challenge in digital versus offset, or is that to be overcome? I'll just give you a quick slide on a company that we are working on at the moment. I think most will recognize it. But the politicians all over the world are banning any marketing on cigarettes. So as for Philip Morris, I think the first country will be Australia, where they are not allowed to even put their name and logo on a box. So what do? We've started now to emboss, blind embossing, this red shape on the box, very small, so that when you have a box in your hand, you can feel it. You know that you are holding a Marlboro box. So when we then just print this box red, you will know that this is a Marlboro box. It's pretty amazing. Well, it was just a small comment on the color and the other ways around getting the message and communications over. I want to show you a bit on the technicalities of color, because this gets to the bone of digital versus offset printing. We normally work with two color systems, Pantone or CMYK. Pantone is what we call the solid color, and CMYK is a color composed by using four colors, cyan, magenta, yellow, and black. Now, most Pantone colors can be matched by a CMY color, some with a small deviations. You see that on the Pantone book. On the left is the solid color. On the right side is the translation into CMYK colors. The base of this system is that this is the best we've got today. If we print on different materials or anything, we need to live with this certain tolerance. But this tolerance is normally accepted as a commercial tolerance, and it's important to remember that a certain tolerance is normally accepted today, even when we start talking digital print. The surface you work with gives a big difference on how the eye sees the color. What material is printed on, what varnish it's put on, is it gloss, is it matte? So if you look at any company with the big books of corporate identity and you look at the letterheads, the brochures, the packaging, envelopes, giveaways, you will see a big difference in color, even though it's printed with technically the ready same mixed PMS color. So these tolerances are there today, and they are normally accepted.
Yes, so I have a quick question for you. You mentioned the importance of substrates. Some of the work that you've done on the digital packaging side, are there specific substrates that give you better shelf impact and better pop than others that you've worked with?
Yeah, I think it tends to be more the mix of colors now. The solid colors are mainly used for pharmaceutical now.
Are there specific materials, so papers, types of substrates that have worked very, very well for you in terms of consumer-oriented products or that you'd recommend?
Well, I think the what we call SBS boards, you know, the folding box board, I think those are the ones that gives the best consistency of color because they've got a smooth surface. And they got the same pH values and so on, so the color will look the same. So we tend to really focus on getting the right board in.
Great, thanks, Jesper.
Okay, let me just move on a bit here because my question is really when you look at offsets and digital, is that are we able to accept the same level of tolerances when we convert from offset to digital, or do we really demand a higher degree of perfection? I want to state that I'm not in favor of either offset or digital. I just always want to vote for the technology which is most suitable for a given job. And therefore, with the increased complexity of personalized and OEM-branded packaging, no question that digital is opening up a huge potential. So if we allow the same level of tolerance to digital as we allow to offset, then digital can pass without much discussion. But it always seems like a given thing that whenever something new is introduced, we want it to be perfect, neglecting the fact that what we have today already is not perfect. So in digital, you have the absence of a water grease balance to bring the color to a sheet, and it makes the color consistency of digital far better than offset. And you don't need 500 sheets just to run in the right color. Now on color matching, I would today say that offset equals digital or digital equals offset if we consider one important issue, and that is the base of the artwork. Now, if we create an artwork for flexo printing and convert it directly into offset printing, we will not get a perfect result in all cases. The same goes if we convert artwork created for offset into digital. Not in all cases we will achieve a perfect result. The ripping process is different, and we have to account for that. So in some cases, let's say 15 out of 100, we need to modify the genetics of the artworks to have the right composition for digital printing. So many make the mistakes to send an offset Adobe or PDF file directly to the ripping in the digital printer, and they expect the same output or a complete match to what they had before. And this is really misunderstanding the technologies. I think both technologies, although 85% of the cases will result in a perfect match, it should not be forgotten that you need to work on the remaining 15%.
I have a question for you. One of the things is with the digital printing side of it, in the fact that you believe that, you know, you can't tell the difference, what kinds of run lengths do you see as economical when you're dealing with the digital side, and what type of press are you running those on?
On the digital?
What run lengths, how long a run length are you running with digital technology?
Well, we won today in packaging. This is for pharmaceuticals, for instance. We won 50 sheets, and we won 15,000 sheets.
Okay.
So I think 2-3 years ago, there was a break even, an economic break even around 5,000 sheets. Then it would be better to shift to offset printing. That's moved up to now 20,000-25,000, and it just keeps moving up. So that digital will eventually eat more into the economics of printing large run packaging batches.
Okay. Thanks, Jesper.
So I was just going to wrap up a bit on the color, because if we compare the digital to the offset, I think we need to give both technologies the same and equal respect. And if we do this and keep in mind the tolerances that we already know today and add a bit of effort into the artwork, I've not yet met one client who did reject digital for this reason, and not met one client who would not agree that the two technologies can do the same job. And actually, in an ideal world, see offset and digital printing working side by side. Let me just give you an example of this week. This is offset printing. We're trying to match a color, Pantone 233, which is like a bit of a magenta. On the lower picture, you see on the left the Pantone scale book. It's also on the right, the Pantone scale book. In the middle is Pantone 233. On the left, you have uncoated paper. On the right, you have coated paper. So you see the big difference. Both colors are correct, but they definitely not look the same. So in this case, we could not achieve a perfect match, but we are used to that. Let me just run through a few slides more of examples that we've done this on. Sandwich packs, which is going to be a big market because so many very different variations, brands, tastes, everyday new print, and you can skip the labeling totally. This has been a huge market for us in the UK. Here's a pharmaceutical company where we have matched the two colors, but one shade is lighter than the other, so we had to finalize this job by creating a new artwork, and we today have a complete match of the colors. Now, I just want to mention a bit on the technologies of the different machines on the market for digital printing, because they all have their advantages and disadvantages. Some run with toner, some run with liquid inks, some have combinations of different technologies. And like an offset, the advanced machines did not win the game in packaging. Heidelberg is definitely state-of-the-art and perfect for paper. But when it came to cardboard, KBA and Roland really did and do run the game. Why? It's because the stiff board of packaging does not easily pass a machine. And when it has to go up and down cylinders like a roller coaster, it breaks down the machine. The same goes for the digital printers. And there's on the market today, just one machine, which runs the sheets flat through the machines. It's Xerox. They're probably without even considering the prospects of stiff cardboard when they invented the item machines. So today we have this only, I would say, racehorse in the digital world that then can really run the cardboard 24/7. The other seems to break. I'm sure their competitors have a good eye on that. But at the moment, it's the only one winner that we have. Now, I want to just allow a bit for questions, so I will just want to to wrap up on a conclusion on a project we've done where we run print-on-demand packaging. Here's some more examples. We have done one job for a pharmaceutical company that's moved fully into digital. We today run every day 24-hour turnover. They have no stock. We run 160 different prints, shapes, and sizes per 24 hours. So that's given us a big turnover of die cutting, of gluing, of inspection. It's been running for 1 year now, and I would say that every customer that's gone into the digital world that we've worked with, nobody has ever gone back. And for both the packaging manufacturers and commercial printers, in all cases we've been involved in, their return of investment has been below 10 months, and that's all inclusive.
One of the questions that I got in when you talk about return on investment and those kinds of things is, could you explain the savings that your customers are being advantaged by? The person on the webinar said, you know, I understand it's not cheaper, but it delivers speed and quality, and yet you talked about savings. Could you spend just a minute on the kinds of savings that you're delivering to clients?
Yes. Now, many clients often have to put some kind of information on the boxes they already have. So it might be a batch number, it might be an expiry date, or some additional information when they fill product into the boxes. Often they also do labeling. So you do away with these two things. You do away with a total warehousing, nothing there. You can just print on demand and have next day what you want. So just bringing all your tied up cash in warehousing down to zero. The mere fact that you only order what you really need. So you have no redundant stock, you have no waste, which gives them a good saving. They don't need to buy 10,000 boxes when they just need 2,000. And they can sum all this up together, that even when we inspect the boxes, they don't need to take quality control measures. We just do 100% PDF inspection, which you see on the slides, which is actually there. Every single box is compared to the original PDF artwork to 100% degree. So the savings has been considerable. Let me say that one pharmaceutical company that we installed a full turnkey project with last year, they had about a $2 million saving the first year, plus they could reposition 21 people in their organization. So it was a very happy case and definitely a real win-win situation.
And just to clarify, was the savings for that pharmaceutical primarily reduction in inventory and elimination of obsolescence and waste?
Yeah, and some of the boxes you actually got cheaper, because when you run offset or the conventional way, if you buy more than 50,000 boxes, then your price is relatively cheap. But up to 50,000, you can actually manufacture cheaper in digital.
Okay.
So it was many, many small items. When you put them all together, everybody was really amazed how much money. Just all the labeling cost, all the extras that they just saved, all the redundant stock, all of that just disappeared overnight. And in the beginning, they wanted to go 50% on print-on-demand digital, and before we even launched the project, they've already decided to go 100%, and they've been more than a year up and running now. Did that answer your question, Val?
Yeah, it sure did. Thank you, Jesper.
So if I should just recommend, I would I would definitely take the opportunity in the market to be a first mover in this market. If people are used to working with digital printing, they're used to paying $2, $3, $4 million for a printing press. You don't spend $1 million on a digital press, and then you're up and running. You don't need a big setup on die cutting and gluing. Graphic West makes machines just for this in China, so that, you know, even if you're not a high flyer in the market, you can get in the game quite easily. And I would definitely invest in the possibilities that this marketing tool gives to the market. So I'm very excited about it, and everybody's been in there and seen it as an icebreaker or something new to offer to their clients have been successful.
Well, that's great, Jesper. Thank you so much. I just want to wrap up with a couple of concluding comments, and I'll keep an eye on the Q&A here. But I think what we've got to take a look at, and what you're hearing from Jesper, is that, you know, digital technology works, and it's a differentiator for your business. I think what you're seeing is, first and foremost, that the technology is available. You heard Jesper talk about the importance of substrates and the fact that there's expanded media options. You know, you're seeing increases in things like private labeling, and that results in shorter runs. You're hearing from marketers that say, you know, I've got to keep my packaging fresh. I need to test it. Digital lends itself to that, and you can actually test that shelf impact. I can do things like customize for target markets or event marketing. I can make that package my brochure by embedding things like quick response codes or what are called Digimarks in the package so that I can give that consumer much, much more information. I can streamline my solutions for secure variable data label printing. I'm going to help that customer save money by improving his supply chain. And, oh, by the way, because I'm eliminating that waste and obsolescence, I'm contributing to the sustainability of a much greener environment. And so I think you're hearing Jesper talk about, and what we're seeing in the market is that digital packaging and innovation mean new opportunities. I can design things differently. I can use different materials, manufacturing, and workflow processes. I can add more information, integration, and change my business models surrounding that package, and ultimately, hopefully, sell and market more effectively. When you think about it, we're also starting to see emerging markets and emerging competitors. What was typically something that the label was a bastion of the label and packaging converters, we're now seeing people like digital commercial printers and online service providers start to look at digital packaging as a new business opportunity. And I would tell you it's the last major shift in the printing market from analog to digital technology. And so as I look at everybody in the audience, I would tell you, and I think Jesper would second this, you really need to embrace digital technology. You need to understand the impact of digital color and how it can give you better shelf impact. You need to assess how you can become basically a marketing services provider and make packaging an integral part of the cross-media mix. You're going to have to re-engineer your work processes. You're going to have to invest in sales and marketing. And most importantly, prepare for that interactive world. And so I'll leave you with one final thought, which is I think when you start taking a look at a lot of the brands out there, that seeing it will actually help you sell it. Now, Jesper, I do have a couple of quick questions I'm going to wrap up with. And the first piece is, what format size are you dealing with on the digital press side? Can you help me out there?
Yeah, it's increasing all the time. Now, the latest size we're working is 46 by 76 centimeters. So we are, what's that in inches? I don't know, A3 format?
Okay.
Well, that's where they're making the big steps forward. So I'd say every 6 months they're increasing. So they're moving up to what we call in offset printing the B2 format. But this is just gonna increase over the years.
One last question for you, and then we'll wrap up. But I do have one other quick question, which is, do you see the substrates as a current limitation for any of the digital packaging solutions, or do you think that that the market is basically at that stage where the substrates aren't a limitation?
The substrates are not a limitation anymore. You know, not all digital presses can run these 350 or 400 grams cardboard. But the machines that I've mentioned and recommended, they can run them. And of course, you need the strength of the box that you need.
Okay.
So it can be done on at least today on the Xerox machine, and I'm sure there'll be others in the market to meet that challenge also.
Well, yes, but I'd like to thank you for your time today and your perspective on, you know, getting at and hopefully dealing with shelf impact. And I guess I would leave everybody in the audience with that one final thought, which is, I think the end objective is to deliver a package that's got the right quality, the right colors, and we're seeing it will, in fact, actually help you sell the product. Thanks a bunch, Jesper, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.